First, there was a snow ghost on top of a silver mountain. Now that ghost is your community host. A snow ghost wants to get the most out of you. 'Cause a better world begins with you.
And now, the world's loudest talk show host, Bruce Snow Ghost Russell!
Thank you.
Thank you. Are you ready to rock and roll?
Yes.
Good evening, Worcester. Let's hear it for the Snow Ghost.
Thank you.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, what?
How's it going?
Pretty good. You?
Good. This is the first episode of your show.
Yeah, it is.
Can you tell the people about the show?
It's a community host show.
Okay.
In the first episode, you talk about the Three Stooges and stuff.
Okay. What other topics are we going to talk about?
Maybe one of my songs off my album.
We'll talk about some of your musical stuff.
Right.
What's the concept? What's the big idea of the Snow Ghost Community Show? What's the inspiration?
I just want to give people in the community the other side of me. I mean, I got four sides. I got all four sides of people, and I wanted to see all sides of me. So just the ones that me. So
what are the four sides?
Well, I'm a snow ghost for one.
Okay.
I'm a crazy madman.
Crazy madman. Okay.
A defender of metal.
Okay, and does metal need defense, you feel, by and large?
No, I think it's defenders of it by itself.
All right, but it's sort of an honorary title.
All right.
All right. And what's the fourth one? Fantastic, fantastic. And Bruce, what's this orange box here? What's that about?
No, it looks like it says Rocket Dog on there.
I think it does. But you know what's in the box is a secret item presented by our sponsor, Happy Birthday Mike Leslie, Pleasant Street in Worcester. Also, the Blue Tiger is from them.
Sweet. Shall we open or what?
I think we should wait.
I think so, too.
I think we should give it to the guest.
That's right. And the special guest is Scott Schaefer Duffy. Welcome, Scott.
Well, thank you, Bruce. Pleasure to be here.
I'm glad you could come.
How could I miss this opportunity, Bruce, to be on your first show?
I got one question to ask you.
Yes?
What's the first thing you know?
Well, the first thing I know is old Jed's a millionaire.
You know what the second two things, the second and the third thing I know is?
What?
I'm here and you're here and Mike's here.
Beautiful. Three Stooges.
All right.
And we're here to talk today about the Three Stooges.
Yes. Yep.
With Scott Schaefer Duffy, our guest.
Yes, I have many invitations. This one's unusual. Although the Three Stooges are in some of my earliest memories, Bruce. I was hit by a car as a little boy and sent to the hospital, and I woke up from a coma to hear wah 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 wah. It was on the TV in the hospital where I was. The first thing I heard when I came out of a coma was the Three Stooges.
Do you think they like supplanted into your subconscious mind, your unconscious mind?
Very deep in the back there. Yes.
You sure you wasn't unconscious when you heard that, or were you awake when you heard that?
You think it was deep below? It was something that happening in the coma.
All right.
Well,
yeah, I heard one.
Could that be what brought you out of the coma?
It's entirely possible. The medicinal effects of the Three Stooges have not been investigated.
You know one thing I heard about the coma? You know what one thing I heard about? One time I was in a coma once.
What?
Yeah.
And one thing I heard real about the coma was a real comb.
A comb over for the comb. Beautiful.
So, Scott, who's your favorite Stooge? Classic question, always asked.
Well, you got to go with Curly. Got to go with Curly. I've been in many rough situations, and the first thing I'll say in this situation, it just sticks with you. It's the perfect thing to say.
He's by far the most popular Stooge.
Oh, no question about it. In fact, I remember one time where I was in the maximum security of the Worcester County Jail, and a guard told everyone they had to go to bed. Very tough man, and if anybody said anything, that he would put everybody on lockdown. And within 2 minutes, you heard people doing the Three Stooges snore. All these men and doing it to bust the guard's chops. I mean, it's like this stuff is just, it's ingrained. It's out there. You know, the nyuk, nyuk, nyuk. It's out there.
Who's your favorite Stooge, Bruce?
I would have to say Mo.
Why do you think that's your favorite Stooge?
The hair.
It's a hairy possibility. He just seems like he's like the leader of ever. He's the leader of the pack. He's like the leader of the Stooges.
And you admire them?
Oh yeah.
I think that's why. Actually, I'm also in the small minority who likes Mo the best, and I think it's because I started watching Stooges when I was a kid. I was the older brother, and Mo was the perfect role model. He had these two younger guys under him, and he just ran the show by hitting them. And when you're like six, you're like.
Well, you have to admire Larry's hair, though.
Larry is like, Larry is pretty, like, I'm trying to look, let me see what Jack Kerouac said about Larry. He wrote in his book, Visions of Neil, somewhat mysterious, as though he was a saint in disguise, a masquerading super-duper witch doctor with good intentions.
Well, Larry has one of the greatest moments in Stooge history in the disorder in the court.
Mm-hmm.
All of the sudden, out of the blue, he goes cock-a-doodle-doo and beats on his chest and shouts. And it's totally zany. It's beyond the Marx Brothers from Duck Soup, what he does in that particular scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Curly had a few moments like that, too, where he goes, and swing it!
That's the moment that you think is like when we see, you said something to me like, that was this moment of Curly, the real Curly coming through.
Oh, yeah, you just saw him just coming out and just saying something so cool and totally, you know, almost off the cuff, like they were definitely a little bit of ad-libbing, you know. Mm-hmm. But one thing that's not well known is probably, that I think of, is the nonviolence of the Stoogers.
Is that right? Because a lot of people do comment about the violence.
They do. They do. They make too
shot
much of
with
it.
A cannon,
poked
saw,
in the eyes,
hit on the head.
They're drinking the paint.
It's true. It's true. In fact, I was in a play when I was in the Boy Scouts, and we did a Three Stooges play. And I think we almost sent the guy to the hospital. We called it the Wacky Doctors, and we thought we were going to do all kinds of Stooges things. So
the Wacky who?
Wacky Doctors. We were going to do an operation on him with plumbing and carpentry tools.
Calling Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr.
Howard. Dr. Howard, Dr. Howard, yeah, Dr. Fine. And we put a pipe on
Come
his mouth
doc-
and somebody used a hammer to bang it, almost knocked Steve in.
Come to Dr. Grease's office.
But we learned very quickly that they weren't really hitting each other in that show. That it was all the...
trial and error is how you learn that.
Yes.
Because that's what I did when I was six. That's what I do with my brother. I'd be like, oh, hey.
Yes, all our mothers used to say they're hitting each other because they're watching the Three Stooges.
I think it's true.
And they're slapping each other because they're watching the Three Stooges.
You might see like violence among the adults around you, but how often do you see people trying to poke each other's eyes out?
That's true.
Except on the Three Stooges.
Although, try to poke my eyes out. Go ahead. See,
You learn to put the glasses on.
The glasses, true.
Yeah, the other thing too is that when people talk about violence on like the Three Stooges, and they talk about the violence in the Bugs Bunny too, because they know it has to be one of the most violent cartoons too.
Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
Because people get shot a lot.
Well, right.
And the Roadrunner.
Well, Roadrunner and the Daffy Duck.
That's right. They get to run out over the cliff, see it, and then come back.
All right.
They get to run back.
A lot of kids try to imitate that.
And they believe that was true.
A lot of kids fall off.
Cartoon physics. Cartoon physics.
A lot of kids fall off.
At least the Three Stooges, it was real. When they get knocked on the head, nonk, it was real in a certain sense. Yeah.
So what were you going to say about Mo as a sort of, or about the Stooges in general as sort of Gandhian figures?
Well, the Stooges, I mean, you see how they confront fascism, how they confront the Japanese, how they confront the Confederates.
We should point out that...
To the cause.
The first American actor, I saw this morning, the first American actor to portray Hitler in a film was Mo Howard.
That's right.
Making fun of him.
Exactly. And then they brought up unionism.
Amalgamated
Morons of America. We are morons, tried and true, and we'll sing our song for you. Yeah. So they, you know, all kinds of things. We're organized.
Social justice?
Yeah, they definitely, you know, a little bit about race, you know, certainly class. They, you know, they didn't put up with any, you know, pretensions. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a strong sense of justice. They meet this woman that's been evicted. They take her in. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Get the woman some milk. You know.
Boy, what is, let me ask you this question, Scott. What is your favorite Three Stooges? I mean, you must have a bunch of them because I know I have a few.
Favorite show? What's your favorite show, The Stooges?
I like the Iceman. I like the plumbing one with Curly. I like the one where they go to the King Rootin' Tootin's tomb.
That's right. That's right.
I like the one when they're out in the middle of nowhere and there's an older woman and three other younger women. And they have a buggy.
Oh, yes.
And there's chopping the wood and there's firing a gun in the air and he's scaring the horses away. So the only thing they could use to go to the next place they were going, it was to make it out of a sail out of
they
it.
They make a sail, right, right. That's true. Although I have to say, the one you mentioned, the Iceman, I believe that's the one where they're making a cake.
Yeah, they are.
And it's not big enough, and Mo says, pump in a few more slices, and they take the pump, and they pump it in, so when they...
Yeah, because Curly pokes a hole in it with a fork, what Larry does.
When they bring that cake out, we use that on our house for birthdays, they sing a song, they say, we baked you a birthday cake.
It'll give you a bellyache, you'll moan and groan and wheeze and moan. Don't forget we told you so.
But happy birthday.
When they cut the cake, it explodes. It's a great scene. It's a great scene. They're good bakers, you know. The feathers in the southern scene, when they make those, they have those things with the feathers and they start blowing the feathers out.
I wouldn't know it was a cake if I hadn't baked it myself.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Don't just don't light it off the table, it'll fly away. If I want some wisecrack, I'll ask one for myself.
That's right. They were a phenomenon.
You like the one about the when they're all dressed as Santa Claus? There's no such thing as Santa Claus. Well, sure, we have a prison right here. You do. Boom, in a bag.
I like the one where they're in jail and they paint the front of themselves and like guards. They paint their whole outfits because they're wearing striped suits. They paint them all like guards, but they didn't paint their backs. So they're going along the wall.
Because they're going to help that woman's husband escape.
That's right. That's right.
The only honest man they found was a dog.
See, they're always trying to help the underdog. Right. They're a lot like the Little Rascals in that regard.
Well, you know, it's interesting that the fathers of both, actually, I think all the parents of both the Howards and Larry Fine were essentially refugees from, you know, Russia.
Right, right. I had heard one of them was fleeing being inducted into the Cossack army.
Yeah, the Howard's father.
Yeah, and so certainly, well, like the Marx Brothers, they definitely grew up in vaudeville and made their way. Mm-hmm. And but they covered a lot of territory, and you know, and what they did, they chose to lampoon the medical industry, the legal industry, detectives,
the law,
the police. Oh boy, they take the police
down.
We
should point out the episode of The Stooges that's playing behind us is Disorder in the Court, which is one of the public domain episodes of The Stooges.
Well, that's a great one where Mo shoots the toupee. Larry's playing the violin and it catches the toupee of the court officer.
He goes,
and it's on the ground. And he goes, a tarantula! He shoots it, grabs the exhibit and shoots it.
That's one of the few Stooges ones that's like chock full of like lines as well as people hitting each other.
Well, and they sing too. They perform their instruments and sing, mm-hmm. which is a vaudeville thing. The judge allows them, let's demonstrate what we did that night. And Curly does an interesting thing in that one too. He talks with all this lingo.
When he's testifying,
they say, translate it.
Right, the judge says, please drop the vernacular. And he goes, that's not a vernacular, that's a doiby.
Oh, and they go through the same thing too, which is important for you, Bruce. Raise your right hand, take off your hat. Raise your right hand, take off your hat. He can't do both.
That's totally this man right here.
That is, that's you, Bruce. Take off the hat.
Should we leave it there? I don't know, judge. If we leave it there, we have to move it. If we move it, we have to leave it there.
Yeah, that's right.
I can totally imagine that.
That's right. That whole testimony is great. And it reminds me in Duck Soup of the testimony when they have Chico on the stand. You know, look at him, Ciccolini. It's like that, and it's even more zany. It's a great piece.
Yeah, the other one, too, I thought was pretty good was they were going to go help that. They're going outside, and then looking for some cans on their backyard, and he found this a can full of change. And as I start shaking it, and then to find out it belongs to a woman and her son, and he needs to get a leg operation. So they go to the bank and say, how much is this? First of all, they all agree that they would deposit this money for him, and they go to the bank. How much does this grow $500? She says, like 2 years or something. So we're not able to wait that long. So they give this, so he invests this, gives the change to this guy. He says, you can make a whole lot of money. He says, listen, and Curly goes, this is a kid's money. Well, we're investing in it to help him out, aren't we? So they go to that, they grab that map in the car, and they start to, you send down those two, what tools? The tools that we're using for the last 20 years, all those tools, and they get them on, and Curly got them on the head. And they start knocking the wall down, and it's like, some guards in there next door, what's that noise? There's some carpenters building, rebuilding a house next door. So they break into the U.S. Treasury office.
That's right, I remember that. And they also had one where they were artists, and where they're bakers. They take on all different kinds of roles. And of course, their last role of all is in It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World. And they only appear as a scene. Jim Backus and Buddy Hackett are in a plane that's, I believe they were the ones that the plane is crashing. Backus is drunk and asleep in the plane, and they're trying to guide them into the airport, and they say they got emergency services there, and they pan, and there's a fire truck, and the Three Stooges are standing there. They don't even have to say a word. Just seeing the Three Stooges in the fire suits is enough to set the tone of, oh my gosh.
Yeah, the other one I thought was great too, when they go to, they try to stop the king trying to marry the blacksmith there.
Yes, what's the one where they're eating in a restaurant and there's a cat below some people with a turban.
That's a ruby diamond. They're after that ruby diamond.
Right, and every time they touch the food, the cat
goes, and it's funny.
The hot dog.
And it was funny because after he goes, there's a cat, and then the dog. What did you say? I mean, he goes, does the eyes? And he goes, and then they throw it, and then someone from the outside throws a knife into the table. He says, ooh, and reads it, says, that murderous cutthroat, he stole that ruby diamond. Now I have to go back. Now I have to go back and being a doorman. Momo says, there's the door. You mean to tell me? He spinach says, you mean to tell me you're the doorman? Well, there's a doorman.
That's right.
How much are you giving this for you? I give you five. I'll take it. Boom.
Yeah, they thought this guy was some big sheik or something, and he turns out he's the doorman. That's right. That's right.
I want to interrupt these musings on the Stooges and point out the orange box on the table in front of us.
The mystery box.
I think it's that time of the show to thank the guests with a special gift.
Well, we will move the blue tiger.
All right.
And see what's in the mysterious box. And what is in the mysterious box?
You have a DVD of the four public domain episodes of The Three Stooges.
Wow. Ooh, Disorder in the Court. Ooh, it shall be seen, perhaps tonight.
There you go. And presented by our sponsor, Happy Birthday, Mike Leslie, Junk Shop, a bandana.
A bandana?
It's a real band.
A bandana. A bandana.
And.
Ooh.
But try this.
Death metal.
Try this. Try this. Try it on. Hold it like this and try it on.
Try this. Put it on?
Yeah.
I don't wear a bandana.
Can we get a close-up on him?
I'll take one.
Over your mouth like a robin.
I'll take
one. You mean like we're in some kind of junta?
It's got the awesome skull.
I'll take
Bruce, I think you would look good with the bandana.
Yeah, right.
You got to put it the other way around.
You know put, it around your, put it around like Dennis Hopper in Easy Rider.
That's why it's awesome.
It's capturing you. It does. It does. If you were robbing a bank, which you would not do because you are essentially a pacifist, it would be amazing. I'd be afraid.
Yeah, this guy just said death metal. I got an idea.
What's yes?
That? Why not satanic metal?
Satanic metal. Oh my gosh, terrifying. Terrifying. But I still think if you put it around your head like Dennis Hopper and Easy Rider, that would be the thing.
Like this here?
Well, Bruce, what is our final statement? What is our final thing to say to the people of Worcester on this episode of the Snow Ghost Community Show?
Yeah, what advice will you give to the city of Worcester? What do they need to do?
Just to be true to themselves. Always remember that you have a lifetime friend in the Snow Ghost Community Show. But I think we should bring up a little bit of my song off my album. What do you think, Mike?
Make it happen.
What's the title of the song?
Call it Passion of a Killer. I think that I know this. A lot of people's going to come to that. I know that I'm going to be asked this, and probably until long after I'm dead. Someone's always going to ask somebody this question. But why I'm still on Earth, someone's always going to keep bringing this question up.
What is that question?
Why? What were you thinking about Passion of a Killer? In my book, everybody's a passion of a killer. Everybody has a passion to kill. Not necessarily with a gun or some sort like that, but we always do ourselves with, like, no matter what our eating habits or our emotional habits.
So there could be a self-destructive.
It could be a self-destructive.
Suicidal impulse. Well, right.
How do we overcome it, Bruce? How do we keep society from devolving to chaos?
Cole, get smart.
First, there was a snow ghost on top of a silver mountain. Now that ghost is your community host. A snow ghost wants to get the most out of you. 'Cause a better world begins with you.